Today's daf is Be'yo Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem, in the beginning of a new Mesechta, Mesechta's Be'yo. Today's daf's being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Baruch Bendit Ben Devora Hinda, Shoshana Bas Rus, Chayim Moshe Ben Esther, and Tamar Bas Chasida from a Rivka. So, Mesechta's Be'yo requires a little bit of an introduction. So the name of the Mesechta is Mesechta's Be'yo. The reason the Mesechta is called that is because the first word of the Mesechta is the word Be'yo. Be'yo Shenolda Beyontif. The truth is the title of the Mesechta is a little misleading because it sounds a little bit like Mesechta's Be'yo talks about eggs. The truth is, that's very much not the case. The first halacha of the Mesechta involves a beitza, and as a result, the name of the Mesechta is per the first word of the Mesechta. But really, the Mesechta doesn't talk about eggs. What it talks about is dinei yomtif. And the truth is, if you look in the Rishonim, there were many Rishonim that used to refer to this Mesechta as Mesechta's yomtif. So we have Mesechta's Shabbos. Mesechta's Be'yo, in many ways, is Mesechta's yomtif. And the truth is, the primary topic of the Mesechta are dinei yomtif. And in that sense, it complements Mesechta Shabbos. Mesechta Shabbos deals with the laws of Shabbos. Mesechta Yontif deals with the laws of Yontif. Now, the laws of Yontif in many ways are very similar to the laws of Shabbos. And that's why, as we're going to see, there's going to be overlap and crossover in the sugis that we're going to learn in Mesechta Be'yo versus some of the sugis that we learned in Mesechta Shabbos. So, for example, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. What's the definition of malacha? La mites malachas. In that same vein, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif either. There are lamites melachis, theoretically, that one is not allowed to do on Yontif. Stating that, there are two major differences between the Issa Melacha on Shabbos and the Issa Melacha on Yontif. Number one, the Mishnah says, Mesechtes Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Everybody knows the Mishnah. Ein bein Yontif l'Shabbos, Ela Oichel Nefesh Bilvad. You're not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Melacha on Yontif. But there is a major difference between Shabbos and Yontif, and that is Meleches Oichel Nefesh. The Torah says, as it relates to the Isser Melacha on Yontif, Ach Asher Yeyochel L'chol Nefesh, Hu Levado Yeyosel Lochem. That even though you're not allowed to do Melacha, but Ach Asher Yeyochel L'chol Nefesh, if this is a Melacha that involves preparing food, it involves quote-unquote Oichel Nefesh, then even though it would be considered a malacha on Shabbos, but on Yontif, you'd be allowed to do the malacha. So the first major difference as it relates to Issa Malacha between Shabbos and Yontif is in terms of the kamus. Quantitatively, how many malachas is one not allowed to do on Yontif? It's not the same as on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the number's 39. On Yontif, it's 39 minus any malacha that's a meleches oichel nefesh. So if this malacha is oichel nefesh, for example, cooking, baking, so those malachas you would be allowed to do on Yontif. Now, how do you determine meleches oichel nefesh? So that's something that is going to be a major topic in the course of the Mesechta. The other difference as it relates to doing malacha on Shabbos versus doing malacha on Yontif is qualitatively, and that is, if someone does malacha on Shabbos, if somebody's a mechalel Shabbos, if he did it b'mezid, purposely, knowingly, with edim, hasra, he was warned, he was told that what he's doing is very, very bad. Back in the day, he was chayev misas bezdin, he was chayev skila. If somebody was mechalel Shabbos b'mezid, there were no edim, or there were edim, but there was no hasra, he was chayev karas. If somebody was mechalel Shabbos b'shoigig, he needed kapara, he had to bring a carbon, he had to bring a carbon chatas. That's all true for someone that's mechal Shabbos. If somebody's mechal Yontif, even a malacha that he's not allowed to do on Yontif, there's no skila, there's no karis. If he does it b'shoigig, there's no chatas. What is it? It's a chayve lavin. He violated a loisase. If someone's over a loisase, he gets malchus. Here too, he would get malchus. But the point is that a malacha on Shabbos is a lot more chamor than a malacha on Yontif. If someone does a malacha on Shabbos, there's skila, there's karis, and there's chatas. If someone does a malacha on Yontif, it's considered a chayve lavin. So you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif. However, there are differences between Shabbos and Yontif, and just to simplify it, for the sake of a brief introduction, there's a difference in terms of the quantity of the malacha, and there's a difference in terms of the quality of the malacha. There's a difference in kamus, and there's a difference in echos. In kamus, 39 malachas on Shabbos, on Yontif, not 39 malachas, you're allowed to do a malacha that's eichel nefesh. So it's going to be 39 minus something. But echos, if someone does a malacha on Shabbos, it's so chamor, skila, karis. Even b'shoigig, he has to bring a carbon chatas. If someone does malacha on Yontif, all it is going to be a chai ve'lavin. The truth is that in addition to the iser malacha on Shabbos, there are also other things that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. So for example, you're not allowed to do malacha, your behemah is not allowed to do malacha either. It's what's known as shvisas behemah. It's a sugya, a whole perek in Masechta Shabbos, Bameh Behema Yoytzes, that deals with this halacha of Shvisas Behema. The Shvisas Behema on Shabbos, the Shvisas Behema on Yontif as well. You're not allowed to do malacha, so your animal's not allowed to do malacha either. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to go outside the tchum. It's not one of the lametes malachas, but there's an iser tchumen. According to some Tanam, tchumen is even deiraisa. Yontif, there's also a Nisr Tchumen. Another halacha that you have on Shabbos, that you also have on Yontif, and this halacha, and this idea is going to be the first sugya in Masechtas Beah. It's a sugya that, even though it's discussed in great detail in Masechtas Shabbos, is often synonymous with Masechtas Beah, and that is Muktzah. So there's an idea that one is not allowed to be metaltel, you're not allowed to carry, or eat Muktzah on Shabbos. The same is true as it relates to Yontif as well. And really, as part two of our brief introduction, we need to reintroduce and reacquaint ourselves with the basic laws of Muktzah, as it is going to very much be the topic of the beginning part of the Masechta. So what's the halach of Muktzah? The word Muktzah means it's cast aside. Muktzah means that there's something that you have, but you put it aside. It's not something that you're interested in right now. It's not something that you're focusing on right now. If someone has an item in his house that in the beginning of Shabbos was muktzah, it was cast aside, it wasn't something that he intended on using on Shabbos, the halacha is you're not allowed to use it at any point during the course of Shabbos. So if at the beginning of Shabbos, bein hashmoshes, quote unquote, this something was muktzah, the halacha is you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. What does that mean? In other words, in more practical terms, if you want to use something on Shabbos, you need to prepare that thing. That item needs to be mukhan. It needs to be prepared. Mukhan is the inverse of muktzah. If something is muktzah, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. If something is mukhan, that's when you are allowed to use it on Shabbos. Mukhan means you prepared it for Shabbos. Muktzah means you didn't prepare it for Shabbos. It was something that was set aside. It was something that was cast aside. It was something that at the beginning of Shabbos, you had no intention of ever using. Now, it would sound a little bit like, based on the idea of muktzah or mukhan, a yid, right before Shabbos, when you're making your final preparations, asartem, aravtem, hidlaktem esaner, right, when you go ahead and you do the basic things that you're supposed to do before Shabbos, you should have to start walking around your house and start saying, okay, what do I want to be making for Shabbos? I want this, I don't want that, I'm going to use that keli, I'm going to eat that, I'm going to learn from that sefer, right? Start going through your Shabbos, through your house, and determine what you're going to want to use, what you're not going to want to use. It's like this, you could be mechin, you can prepare the things you're going to want, and whatever you don't want will end up being muktzah. The truth is, you don't have to do that. You're not obligated before Shabbos to go and start preparing, making mukhan the things that you want to use on Shabbos. And the reason is, because everything in your house is considered mukhan until proven otherwise. So unless you can prove to me and make a good rational argument why you should think that even though this thing was sitting in my pantry, but at the same time it was muktzah and it wasn't something that I really was going to maybe use on Shabbos, that halacha is I'd be allowed to use it. So you don't have to proactively go around your house and start preparing things for Shabbos, but rather anything that you have in your house on Shabbos is presumed to be mukhan, unless there's a good reason to assume that it's not mukhan. In that case, it's going to be muktzah. So what are examples of muktzah? So there's many, many examples. We'll just mention a few. The most classic example of muktzah is when something's muktzah machmas gufay. You have an item, an object, that's inherently something that people don't use. The classic example is a rock. an even, a stone. These are things that don't have any real purpose. There's no hishtamshus that people usually use these things for. And as a result, if you have a rock in your house on Shabbos, unless you were making it before Shabbos, the assumption is it's mukta why machmas gufay, because of who it is. When the rock looks in the mirror, it sees a rock. It sees something that nobody uses. And as a result, it's mukta machmas gufay. That's your classic example of something being mukta. There's a concept of mukta machmas mios, where you have something that, you know, maybe people would use, but it's very disgusting in the beginning of Shabbos. And because of that, machmas mios, because it's disgusting, it's something that, even though it's in your house, but you probably weren't going to use it, and as a result, it's considered mukta. You won't be able to use it on Shabbos. Keli shemelachtoi le'iser. Kalim that you have in your house that you use all the time, but at the same time, it's melachta l'isser. When you use it in the normal way of using it, you're violating an isser. So your telephone, for example. A phone is something that people use, but at the same time, using your phone involves something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Therefore, even though your phone technically is something that you use, but on Shabbos, being that using it involves an isser, it's considered mukta. Meaning, not only can't you use your phone, that you can't do anyways, but you can't even be metaltel your phone. You won't even be able to touch it. And the reason is because it's mukta. Another example of mukta, and that's the one that we're going to talk a lot about in the beginning of the Masechta, is noilad. Something that didn't exist. You didn't own it in the beginning of Shabbos, but it was something that was born. It was created on Shabbos. That, too, even though this thing that now was noilad on Shabbos is something that theoretically you would love to use, but at the same time, being that you didn't have it in the beginning of Shabbos, you obviously weren't making it for Shabbos, it's considered to have been mukta, and as a result, this is something that you would not be able to use on Shabbos. So again, the concept of mukta, or the inverse of mukta, the flip side of the same coin, Mukhan is that if you want to use something on Shabbos, you have to prepare it. If you prepare for Shabbos, you can use it on Shabbos. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos, yitaltol b'Shabbos. That's how it works. Now, stating that, you don't have to go and start making and being making everything in your house, but rather we presume that the things in your house are considered mukhan until proven otherwise, and there's a whole list of examples of what would be the definition of otherwise. We mentioned mukta machmas gufoy, we mentioned mukta machmas mios, keli shemelachta le'iser, or the beya case, which is the case of noilad. Now, when you talk about mukta, one last point, there were two primary shitas in Shas, machloikis tanon, as to the extent of the laws of mukta. And that's machloikis Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon was very, very makel in the laws of mukta. And that's when you learn the sugyas of mukta, there are many, many kulois that are attributed to the Tana Reb Shimon. Stam Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bar Yechai. And Reb Shimon Bar Yechai was very, very makel in the laws of mukta. Reb Shimon's primary Baal Plukta in Shas is Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda argued with Reb Shimon as it relates to mukta. And Reb Yehuda was more machmer than Reb Shimon when it came to mukta. There happens to be a third shita, the shita of Reb Nechemya, who's even more machmer than Reb Yehuda. But when you learn the sugis of mukta, there's two primary opinions, and that is Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon is mekel mukta. Reb Yehuda is machmer mukta. The emes is throughout Shas, the Gemara refers to Reb Shimon shita mukta as Reb Shimon lesle mukta, and it's a tremendous misnomer because it sounds like Reb Shimon didn't hold of the laws of mukta, and that's not true. Reb Shimon very much held of mukta. When we say Reb Shimon was lesle mukta, what we mean is that Reb Shimon was mekel mukta. Lesle, he took the edge off of mukta. He didn't hold the mukta so chamur, it's so stark like Rabbi Yehuda did. I've rather Rabbi Shimon held the mukta. But whenever you talk about mukta, there's two shitas. Rabbi Shimon's lesle mukta, Rabbi Yehuda's isle mukta. Now, what exactly is the machloikis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? Clearly, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda both held of the idea of mukta, but they had a different understanding of it. They had a different conceptual understanding of it. Rabbi Shimon's mukta was much more kulodig than Rabbi Yehuda's mukta. The truth is, it's a very, very hard question to answer, to try to really come up with a clear understanding of what Reb Shimon's mukta is, what Reb Yehuda's mukta is. It's something that's discussed a lot in Masechta Shabbos. To go through the sugyas in Masechta Beya here in the beginning, it would really be kedai to go through that as well. But what we need for our daf yomi purposes is that there's a machloikis Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon was mekel, he was lesle mukta. Reb Yehuda was machmer, he was isle mukta. Just to end with one final note, and that is, there's a little bit of a debate as to what the right pronunciation of the name of the Masechta is. I mean, you open up the Masechta, it sounds like it should be called Masechta's Beitza. Beis Yud Tzadik Hei. According to the Aleph Bina, the way you would read it is Beitza, stating that the Minig Yisrael is to refer to the Masechta as Masechta's Beya. And the question is, what's the right pronunciation? Is it Beitza or is it Beya? And if it's Beya, then why is it Beya? After all, it's written Beitza. But there is a clue right here on the Amid, and that is if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel in the Hakdama to his Pirish on the side of the Gemara, so he starts off, he says, Aschel Masechtes Beitza, Be'ezras Godol Ha'etza. So it's clear that Rabbeinu Chananel started with a little bit of poetry, and the word Beitza and the word Eitza were meant to rhyme. Now, if it's Aschel Masechtes Beya, then it wouldn't be Be'ezras Godol Ha'etza. So obviously it's Aschel Masechtes Beitza, Be'ezras Godol Ha'etza, and this is a raya that the Velt brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, that the right way to pronounce the Masechta is not Masechtes Beya, but rather it's Masechtes Beitza. The Heilige Chasam Sofer also wrote a Hakdama to Masechtes Beitza, and he too began with a little bit of poetry. This is the way the Chasam Sofer began. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, Mashachonani Hashem Yisbarach, Chidushim Masechtes Beitza, Yishtabach Ravo Alilio V'Godol Ho'etza, Hayreni B'derech Ukecha, V'derech Mitzvah Yisecha Arutza, V'Zakeini Lilmoidu L'lameid, Yofutsu Maynoisai Chutza, Hayom lasoyson lishmar ulekayim miligdar kol pirza. So in the raid, we'll get back to the Hakdama of the Chasam Sofer, but it's very, very clear. This is an extended version of what Rabbeinu Chananel said in the beginning of the Masechta. Ho'itza, arutza, chutza, pirza. It's all rhyming with Beitza. So it seems that the proper pronunciation is probably Beitza, stating that in Yeshiva, it's called Masechtes Beya, and as a result, in Unzer Chabura, we're starting Masechtes Beya. So on that note, Zok Teilig Mishnah, Beya Shinolda B'Yontif, a Beya that was hatched, it was born on Yontif. So a hen laid an egg on Yontif. Again, not Shabbos Yontif. We're learning Masechtes Beya now, not Masechtes Shabbos. B'Shamay Oymer B'Shamay says Teyachel, you're allowed to eat it. B'Sul Oymer B'Sul says, Loi Teyachel, you're not allowed to eat it. Now that's Pashit after Yontif, of course you're allowed to eat it. The Machloikis B'Shamay B'Sul is, are you allowed to eat the egg on Yontif or not? B'Shamay said, yeah. B'Sul said, no. Another machloikus between B'Shamay and B'Sul. B'Shamay says, S'or b'kizayis v'chometz b'kichoy seves. You're not allowed to eat chometz on Pesach. You're also not allowed to eat S'or, sourdough on Pesach. You're not allowed to have chometz in your reshus on Pesach. Bal yeroe u'bal yemotze. You're not allowed to have S'or. You're not allowed to have sourdough in your reshus on Pesach. The question is, what's the shear of chometz and what's the shear of S'or? So B'Shamay said, S'or, the shear is a kezayis. A kezayis of S'or, you already violated the iser chometz. The chometz, as it relates to chometz itself, it's b'kachay seves. It's a date. A date is bigger than a zayis, which means the shear of Sa'ar is a smaller shear, which means it's a more chomer shear. They said, no, that the shear for Sa'ar and the shear for chometz is both going to be b'kezayis. A third machloik is between b'shamay and b'sil. If someone shechts a chaya or an oif, so the halach is, there's a mitzvah saseh d'iraisa of kisui hadam, that you can't just leave the blood on the floor, but rather you need to take afar and you have to cover the dam. It's a mitzvah deraisa known as kisui adam. There's a whole perek in Masechtes Kulin that's called perek kisui adam. So what happens if somebody shechts a chaya or an oif on yontif? Now you have a mitzvah of kisui adam. B'Shamay says yachber b'dakav yichas. You can take a shovel, you can dig a little bit of dirt, and then cover the blood. Be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui adam. B'Shul says lo yishchet. Don't shecht elam kein hoylei afar mucha mebaydayim. Unless you prepared afar, unless you prepared dirt, don't shecht. Umoydim. However, B'Shul is moydim shem shachat, that if he did shecht sheyachber b'dakav yichas, that b'di'evet it's okay. Meaning, B'Shamay says you could do it l'katchila. B'Sul says don't shech l'katchila. However, but yeah, but if you did it, then you can take the shovel and you can dig up a little bit of dirt and you can cover the blood. And the reason is she'efer kira muchanu, because the ashes of an oven are considered repaired. My inyan shmita itzel arsina. What does the ashes of an oven have to do with taking the shovel and digging up a little bit of dirt? So Rashi says the Gemara is going to say, my kama, what's pashup shan in the Mishnah? We'll see in the Gemara. But the point is, the Mishnah began with the halacha that's nogeya hilchas yontif. Like we said, the mesechta we're learning is really hilchas yontif, and that is a beya shenolda beyontif, a beya, an egg that was born, it was hatched on yontif. Beishamai says teyachel. Beishamai says that you're allowed to eat it on yontif. Beisul emir loy teyachel. Beisul says you're not allowed to eat it. Then the Mishnah went on. The Mishnah mentioned two other machloikasin between Beishamai and Beis Hillel. One is Nogeya, the laws of Chametz, and the other one is Nogeya, the laws of Kisei Adam. So Rashi asks right away that I understand why we have the first Machloikis Beshamai Beis Hillel in our Masechta. We're learning Hilchos Yontif, it's Nogeya, Halacha and Hilchos Yontif. But the Machloikis Beshamai Beis Hillel about the Shir Chametz should be in Masechta's Psochim. Why is it here in Masechta's Beya? Hashnoichet Chayva Oiv should be in Masechta's Chulin. That's what Perikisi Adam is. Why is it over here in Masechta's Beya? Now you'll tell me that maybe the Mishnah is digressing. I mean, it's pretty early on in the Masechta to digress, number one. And besides, if the digression is that, oh, you mentioned one Machloikis Bisham and Bisul, let's pile on. Let's mention all the Machloikis in between Bisham and Bisul. We'll be here all night, right? Then there's a lot of Machloikis in Bisham and Bisul that we can mention. So the question is that why did we mention the other two Machloikis in? So Rashi says there's a reason, because these three machloikas have something in common, something you rarely see. Mishum dahani tlas mili, all three of these arguments between Beishamai and Beisul is mikule Beishamai umechumre Beisul. Beishamai was mekel in all three of these machloikas, and Beisul was machmer, and it's for that, and it's nogeya. In some level, it's negeya the laws of yontif, because it's negeya chametz and kisui adam on yontif and beishanol to be yontif. So it's for that reason, tanu lugabe adadi. Therefore, they were all mentioned together. But enochinami, what we're going to focus on right now, what we really need is the first halacha, and that is beishanol to be yontif. Beishamai says you're allowed to eat it. Ubeisul and Beisul says loy teyachel, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says b'mayaskina. So this machloikus in Beisham and Beisul. Beishamai was mekel, that's a big chiddush. Beisul was machmer. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the case? Meaning, we need a little bit more information. This tarnagoilus that laid this egg, that we now have a machloikus Beisham and Beisul, teyachel, you're allowed to eat it, or loy teyachel, you're not allowed to eat it. Elaim b'tarnagoilus and medas lachilo. Are we talking about a tarnagoilus that was set aside to be eaten? Meaning, somebody owned a hen, and the purpose of this hen was it's dinner tomorrow night, right? That was the purpose of this tarnagoilus. You know, at some point it's going to be on the menu. This is something that you're going to eat. So this tarnagoilus was food. That's really what it was. If that's the case, why would they still say that a beya shenol de beyontif, you're not allowed to eat the beya? Uchlo da afriso. The beya is oichel, it's food. The afris, Rashi quotes different gemaras, means that it separated itself from other food, so you should be allowed to eat it. Meaning, if this tarnagoilus was a medes lachilo, that means this tarnagoilus is your challah. Your challah is something that you're allowed to eat on yontif. So if you cut a piece of challah off, you should be able to eat that piece of challah as well. The tarnagoilus is food. The beya is a part of the food. It just came off of the food. Uchla da afrasu, you should be allowed to eat it. Ela b'tarnagoilus emedos l'chila beitzim. Ela mai, maybe we're talking not about a tarnagoilus that's emedos l'chila, but rather we're talking about tarnagoilus that the owner never had in mind to eat, but rather the purpose of this tarnagoilus was l'chila beitzim, for it to produce eggs. If that's the case, maitamayda b'shamai. Why would Beishamai say Beishanol b'yontif teyochel? Beishamai is mekel. Beishamai says you're allowed to eat it. Why are you allowed to eat it? Muktzehi. It's mukta. And if it's mukta, you should not be allowed to eat it. Now, why would we assume it's mukta? Because if this tarnagoilus was never a tarnagoilus that you intended on eating, to the contrary, this tarnagoilus is something that produces revenue for you. This is something that you use legado basin. So on yontif, you weren't going to touch it, because what could you do with it on yontif? The only thing you can do is eat it. But you don't eat it. It's not a medes l'achilo. So the assumption has to be that it's mukta. It's not mukhan. It falls under the category of mukta. If it's mukta, then why would Beishamai say that you're allowed to eat the egg? The egg came from the tarnagoilus. The tarnagoilus is mukta. The egg should also be mukta. So if that's the case, it shouldn't be okay to eat it. Meaning the Gemara's kasha is, what kind of tarnagoilus are we talking about? What kind of hen are we talking about in our Mishnah that laid an egg that there was a machloikis Beishamai and Beisil, whether you're allowed to eat the egg or you're not allowed to eat the egg?
If we're talking about a tarnagoilus, that's a medes lachila. So then the tarnagoilus is food. The egg is just a piece of food. If it's a piece of food, it's a piece of challah that fell off. Why in the world would they still say leitayachi? You're not allowed to eat it. And if we're talking about a tarnagoilus, hoi medes lagadol beitzim, so you were never going to use this on yantif. So the tarnagoilus is muktzah. The egg is certainly muktzah. So my time out of Beishamai. Why would Beishamai say that it's okay? So the Gemara says, my koshu. What kind of cash is this? Right? The Gemara says, the one asking this question sounds like he never learned the sugya muktzah. Dilma Beishamai leslu muktzah. Maybe Beishamai doesn't hold a muktzah. Now, there's no one in the world that doesn't hold a muktzah. But like we spoke at in the introduction, there is a Reb Shimon who was very makel, he was lenient in the laws of muktzah. So Frank the Gemara, maybe Reb Shimon or Beishamai held like Reb Shimon that is very makel in the laws of muktzah, and as a result, here too he was makel. He held that a tarnagoilus that oimedes legadol beitzim is not muktzah, and as a result, the beitz is also not going to be muktzah. So the Gemara says like this: Kasolka daiten. The Gemara thinks now. I feel him on the shari of muktzah. Even the man the Amar that holds that muktzah's mutter, meaning I feel him on the shari of muktzah. Even Reb Shimon, that's very makel by muktzah. But benoilad aser. But when it comes to noilad over there, he's going to be machmer. And if that's the case, freit the Gemara might come out of Beishamai. I don't understand pshat of Beishamai. In other words, the Gemara is saying, I know what you could tell me. You could tell me maybe we're talking about a tarnagoilus that's a medes legadol beitzim. And the machlokes between Beishamai and Beisilu, whether a beis shenol the beyantif teyachel or loy teyachel, is the machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, whether we're machmer a muktzah, we're mekel a muktzah. Beisilu said beis shenol the beyantif loy teyachel, Beisilu's machmer, like Reb Yehuda when it comes to muktzah. Beishamai said beis shenol the beyantif teyachel, because they're mekel like Reb Shimon, who's mekel by muktzah. But the Gemara says, even Reb Shimon, who holds that muktzah is not as chamor as Rabbi Yehuda held it was, even Rabbi Shimon, who's less like muktzah, but noilad? Oh, noilad, even Rabbi Shimon holds is going to be muktzah. And there's a svara to it. What's the svara? Because again, Rabbi Shimon conceptually agrees with muktzah. He just says that I have a much lower threshold of what makes something muktzah. So maybe according to Rabbi Shimon, a tarnagoilus that's a medes legadol beitzim, at the end of the day, I could always change my mind. I could always decide, you know what, instead of using this tarnagoilus to lay eggs, I'm going to use this tarnagoilus to eat. Okay, so there Rabbi Shimon holds. Al zen nemar, Reb Shimon leslei mukta. But noilad, it didn't exist. It wasn't in the world when Shabbos happened or when Yontif happened. So if that's the case, it's pashut, says the Gemara, l'chura, even Reb Shimon, who's leslei mukta, is going to agree that noilad is aser. So if that's the case, even if you want to argue that Beit Shammai may be held like Reb Shimon, still we should have a problem. So again, we have a problem. We have a machloikis, Beishamai besil, Beishanol beyontif. Beishamai says, teyachel, Beish. Hillel says, Loi teyacha. Freit the Gemara, what kind of tarnagoilus was it that laid this egg? Meaning we need some more information to try to help us understand the Mishnah. And the Gemara asks it as a memonavshach. If we're talking about a tarnagoilus that was a medes lachila, so the tarnagoilus seems to be food. It's literally like something you today would have in your refrigerator. So if that's the case, why in the world should you not be able to eat it? And if we're talking about a tarnagoilus that's a medes legadol beitzim, then I don't understand Beishamai. It should be muktzah. I understand Beisil. Why holds he can't eat it? Because it's muktzah. But maitamayu de Beishamai. And don't tell me because Beishamai holds like Reb Shimon, who's less like muktzah, that's a decent argument. But the problem is, here we're not dealing with the tarnagoilus. We're dealing with the egg. The egg was noilad. The egg is a much worse version of muktzah than the tarnagoilus would have been. And l'chura, when it comes to the egg, which is noilad, even Rav Shimon would be moide islay muktzah. So again, Maman of Shach, is this tarnagoilus oimedes lachilo? Then what's pshana beisul? And if it's a tarnagoilus, it's oimedes l'gadol beisim. Mai tamayu de beishamai. And the Gemara now is going to take us on a little bit of a ride. It's going to go knee deep into tomorrow's daf. Several different to roots him to answer this kasha. The first heretz of the Gemara is Amr Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Lo'idam a tarnagoilus medes legadol beitzim." We're talking about a tarnagoilus that's a medes legadol beitzim. And if that's the case, the tarnagoilus is theoretically, hypothetically, muktzah. It was a medes legadol beitzim. It's muktzah, and that's pshana beisul. Beisul says beishanol the meyantav loy teyachel. You know why? It's muktzah. It was a medes legadol beitzim. You never had a mind to use this in the beginning of Shabbos, in the beginning of Yontif. If it was the tarnagoilus that you eat, yeah, it might be on the menu. But this was a medes legadol beitzim. You never intended on using it. That's pshana beisul. Ah, Shammai, what's Pshat and Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai is less Leimukta. But I thought even if Beis Shammai is less Leimukta, but Noilad is different. The Gemara says, no, with the Islay Mukta, Islay Noilad. Rabbi Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta, Rabbi Yehuda, who's Machmer Mukta, he holds him Noilad as well. With the less Leimukta, less Leinoilad. However, Rabbi Shimon, or in this case, Beis Shammai, who's less Leimukta, he's less Leinoilad. So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, who Beis Hill, Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hill holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the first Pshat in the Gemara. It's the Pshat of the Amoru Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said the Mishnah is talking about a Tarnagoilis, Ha'imedes, Legado Beitzim, and the Machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hill. The very first Machloikis of Mesechtes Beya is whether or not there's an Isser Mukta or there is no Isser Mukta. Or more accurately, are we more Machmer Mukta or are we more Mekel Mukta? Beis Shammai holds Beish and all the Beyontif Teyachel because he holds like Reb Shimon who was Mekel Mukta, and Beis Hillel holds Beish and all the Beyontif Loi Teyachel because Beis Hillel held like Reb Yehuda who was Machmer by Mukta. Hey, this is Noilad? Shouldn't Noilad? No, Noilad is not different. Noilad is just another form, it's another variety of Mukta. And Reb Shimon, who's less Lay Mukta, he's also less Lay Noilad. But now the Gemara is going to digress a little. Says the Gemara, Umi Amrav Nachman Achi. Is that true? Could Rav Nachman really have just said that? Rav Nachman just said that the Hezbon, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, is in Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon, no Mukta, and that Beis Hillel holds like Rav Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta, Vatnan. We learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Mesech Shabbos. Again, there's going to be a lot of Mesech Shabbos and Mesech Bey. Beis Shammai, Yom Yishammai says, Machbiyah Me'al Ashulchan, at some ways, so the Mishnah is talking about someone just finished eating a meal. And after you finish eating a meal, you're eating fish, you're eating meat, so they could be bones sometimes. They can be shells of different foods that you ate. Now the bones, the shells, are mukta. So it's an idea that needs to be addressed in the world of mukta. So Beis Shammai says, so what should you do after the meal? You pick up the shulchan. You can just remove from on the shulchan that tzamis and the klipin. Just get rid of it. Beis Hillel says, no, you can't pick up that tzamis and the klipin. If you're going to pick up that tzamis and the klipin, you're getting involved in mukta. So Beis Hillel says, Mesalik es hatavla kulo minara. If you want to get rid of this, you're going to have to pick up the table and move the table. You'll move the table. Even though by moving the table, you're moving these atzamis, these bones, and these klipin and these shells. But that's what we call a tiltal minatzad. And that's something that's okay. But here's the point. Beis Shammai says in the Mishnah, you finished eating, just remove all the chazarai. Beis Hillel says, no, you can't do that. It still says, move the table. But you want to pick it up, you can't do that. Okay, so far, so good. Here's the problem. Amar Rav Nachman. In the Zelber of Nachman from our sugya said, Anu ein lanu el b'chamik Rav Yehuda b'chamik Rav Shimon. He changed the gerus in the Mishnah. He said, I have a Messiah. This is not the right gerus in the Mishnah. I have a Messiah that Beis Shammai held like Rav Yehuda, that was Islay Mukta, and Beis Hillel like Rav Shimon, that was less Islay Mukta. Meaning Beis Shammai would tell you, you can't pick up the bones. You have to move the table. It's Rav Shimon, it's Beis Hillel that held like Rav Shimon. They're the ones that held, you can pick up the bones. So Rav Nachman goes, he changes a gears in a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos to make Beis Shammai be Machmer, which is usually the way it is, like Rav Yehuda in Mukta, and to have Beis Hillel be Mekel. But what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is that it's a steerer than a Rav Nachman. Because in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai, Yomim Teyachel, he holds like Rav Shimon that doesn't hold a Mukta. Beis Hillel, Yomim Loi Teyachel, he holds like Rav Yehuda who is Islay Mukta. And the Zelber Rav Nachman went out of his way to make it just the opposite in a Mishnah, Mesech Shabbos, that it's Beis Shammai that said, after you finish your meal, you can't pick up the bones. No, you have to walk it out. Because it's Mukta. Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's Islay Mukta. Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, that's Islay Mukta. So we have a stira in Beis Shammai and in Beis Hillel between two statements of Rav Nachman. So here Rav Nachman in our Mishnah said that Beis Shammai is less Lay Mukta, Beis Hillel is Islay Mukta. And in the Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Rav Nachman said just the opposite. So the Gemara says a major teretz. Amlecha Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman's going to tell you there's a chiluk between the two Mishnayos. Our Mishnah, Masechta Beya, is discussing Hilchas Yontif. The Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, is discussing Hilchas Shabbos. Snuck Rav Nachman, Gabi Shabbos, as it relates to Shabbos, the Sosam Latanik Rav Shimon, where you find that the Stam Mishnah in Shas is Rav Shimon, there's a Stam Mishnah in Shas in Mesech the Shabbos like Rav Shimon. Where's this Stam Mishnah? Again, it's Mesech the Shabbos, the Tnan. Mechatchen asad Deluin lefnei Abahim. You're allowed to take Deluin, that's some sort of fruit or vegetable, a gourd, and you're allowed to chop it up and give it to a Behemah. Vesan Avela lefnei Aklavim. And you're allowed to take an Avela and give it to the Klavim. An Avela is a dead animal. You're allowed to feed it to the klavim. Now, mechatchen es adulun lefnei behemah is not such a chiddush. The bigger chiddush is the next part. That's hanavela lefnei klavim. An animal is muktzah. Because what are you going to do with an animal on Shabbos? an animal that dies, in theory, now you have food for your animals. But the problem is, if it was mukhs in the beginning of Shabbos, so you shouldn't be able to now take it, chop it up, and feed it to your animals. Stating that, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to take an avela that became an avela on Shabbos, which was mukhs in the beginning of Shabbos, that's the key, and you're allowed to feed it now to your dogs, which means we're being very makel in the laws of mukhs. Which Reb Nachman understood then was a stam Mishnah like Reb Shimon, who's less le muksa. So says the Gemara, Reb Nachman knew this Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. He knew a stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, a Mishnah that doesn't have any author, any name signed underneath it. It's a stam Mishnah, and the stam Mishnah was Reb Shimon. You're allowed to take a nevela, chop it up, and give it to the klavan, even though this nevela was alive in the beginning of Shabbos, which means it was muktzah. It died on Shabbos, chop it up and give it to the animal. Aye, what happened to muktzah? Must be a host like Rav Shimon, that's less like muktzah. But the point is, in Masechta Shabbos, where there's a stam Mishnah like Beis Hillel, like Rav Shimon, it's a moikum all the Beis Hillel, Rav Shimon. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, oh, if you have a stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon, that must mean that Beis Hillel also holds like Rav Shimon. You know why? Because we paskin like Stam Mishnah. We also paskin like Beis Hillel. So you have to be able to reconcile. You have to be able to make Shitas Beis Hillel Shtim, which Shitas Reb Shimon. So you have a Stam Mishnah in Hilchas Shabbos like Reb Shimon. So it makes sense that Beis Hillel holds like Reb Shimon in Hilchas Shabbos. Aval, however, Gabi Yontif, as it relates to the laws of Yontif, this saw some on Tanik Rabbi Yehuda, where there's a Stam Mishnah Rav Nachman said like Rabbi Yehuda. What's the Stam Mishnah? Time we learned to the Mishnah, Eimavakin Eitzim HaKoyres. You're not allowed to take beams. So this is someone that's in the construction business. He has beams, and he plans on building something with these beams. So the Halach is, you're not allowed to take those beams on Yontif and use it for fire. Additionally, V'loimen HaKoyres Shenishbara B'Yontif. This is what we need. If somebody had a piece of wood, it was a beam, part of his house, and on Shabbos, that part of his house broke. Now he has a beam. This beam he's never going to use to build. This is going to be firewood. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to use it for firewood on Yontif. Why would you think you could? Because why not? It's firewood. Why shouldn't you be able to? Because you couldn't use it in the beginning of Yontif. I mean that you couldn't use it in the beginning of Yontif, so it falls into the category of muktzah. But here's the point. The point is, you have a Mishnah, a Masechtas Beya, which deals with the laws of muktzah, and on Yontif, and it's machmer like Rabbi Yehuda. So what Rav Nachman saw was that even though the Stam Mishnah as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos is like Rav Shimon, but the Stam Mishnah as it relates to Hilchas Yontif is actually like Rabbi Yehuda. So if said if that's the case, we know that Halacha is like Beis Hillel. So Moikum Lo Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. So must be that the Halacha is like Beis, that Rabbi Yehuda, that Beis Hillel must hold like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Hilchas Yontif. In other words, we have a steer in Rav Nachman, a little bit of a cheshbon. Rav Nachman said that Beis Shinol de Yontif, Beis Shammai Yomit Tayach, Beis Hillel Yomit Tayach, it's because Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon, who's Lesley Mukza, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who's Islay Mukza. The problem is, Rav Nachman himself said regarding Hilchas Shabbos that Beis Shammai is Islay Mukza, and Beis Hillel is less like Muktzah. So we have a stira in Beis Shammai and a stira in Beis Hillel. Zokti Gemara, it's not a stira. One is Hilchas Yontif and one is Hilchas Shabbos. And that's what we said in the introduction. Even though Shabbos and Yontif are so similar, but there's a whole Masechta that's going to emphasize a lot of the differences between Shabbos and Yontif. And they're not mamish the same. So Rav Nachman held that in Shabbos, Beis Hillel is Mekel in Muktzah and Beis Shammai is Machmer in Muktzah. By Yontif, Beis Shammai is the one that's Mekel, and Beis Hillel is the one that's Machmer. Rav Nachman said, how do I know that? Like, where would I even be coming from? He said, I saw it in two Stam Mishnayos, because I have a Stam Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that's Mekel and Muktzah, like Rav Shimon, and I have a Stam Mishnah Hilchas Yontif that's Machmer when it comes to Muktzah. And if that's the case, that's probably Shittas Beis Hillel, because we paskin like Stam Mishnah, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So you see, clearly Beis Hillel was Machmer in Yontif when it comes to Muktzah. He was Mekel in Shabbos when it comes to Muktzah. Beis Shammai argued with Beis Hillel in both cases. They obviously took the opposite approach, but the bottom line is, he's asking the steerer of Nachman. It's not a steerer. One is discussing Hilchas Yontif, and one is discussing Hilchas Shabbos. So the bottom line is, Rav Nachman basically said that, yeah, the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is one way in Hilchas Shabbos, it's another way in Hilchas Yontif, and it's literally the inverse. What Beis Shammai held in Shabbos, he held the opposite in Yontif. When Beis Hillel held in Yontif, he held the opposite in Shabbos. And what did he base it on? Two Stam Mishnayos, because he saw there was a Stam Mishnah in Shabbos that holds like Rav Shimon, that's less like Muktzah, and there's a Stam Mishnah in Hilchas Yontif that holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that is Islay Muktzah. So the Gemara says, I hear it. We just answered Rav Nachman, but what's Pshat in all these Stam Mishnayos here? Mechtis, man sasmei l'masnisan. Who is the one that gave us the Stam Mishnah. Rebbe. Rebbe is the one that put together the Mishnah. I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. But this is all Rebbe. Mishnah b'Shabbos also like Rebbe Shimon. Mishnah b'Yontif also like Rebbe Yehuda. What's Kufa Pshat? Why is it that in Hilchas Shabbos the Stam Mishnah is like Rebbe Shimon? And when it comes to Hilchas Yontif, the Stam Mishnah is like Rebbe Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Amri, the Svar is like this. Shabbos, the Chamira, Shabbos, which is Chamur. You don't have to be worried that people are going to be mezalzel in Shabbos. Sosam like Rebbe Shimon. Therefore, he was Sosam like Rebbe Shimon. The Mekel, who's Mekel? He felt, Rebbe did, that you could be Mekel on Shabbos. Because Shabbos, everyone takes very seriously anyways. So the fact that you'll be Mekel, it's not going to end up a slippery slope. It's not going to spiral out of control. We can be Mekel by Mukta on Shabbos, and nothing terrible is going to come from it, and therefore he was Mekel. However, Yontif, the kill, Yontif, which is Kuladig, people don't take Yontif as seriously as they do Shabbos. For us, people may be Mezalzel in Yontif. Sasam like Rabbi Yehuda, the Machmer, therefore he held that you have to be Machmer. So this is a little counterintuitive, but basically what he said was that Shabbos, which people take so seriously, Shabbos is very Chomer. Why Shabbos so chomer? Skila, karis, chatos. It's very, very chomer. So therefore, I'm okay being mekel a little bit when it comes to muktzah. Why would you be worried that maybe this kula is going to lead to other problems? People are not mezalzel when it comes to Shabbos. But yontif is more kuladig. Why? No skila, no karis, no chatos. It's in chayvei lavin. So therefore, if we're going to be mekel by muktzah, people may be mezalzel in yontif. And therefore, he felt that the right thing to do is to be Machmer. Either way, Rav Nachman was just following Rebbe's lead, and he basically made Beis Hillel Shtim with the two Stam Mishnayos. But what do we have? We have over here the first Pshat in the Gemara, and that is Rav Nachman said, the Hezber and the Machloikas between Bishami and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds Beyonta, Bishami Yom Teyachel, Beis Hillel Loi Teyachel. Bishami holds Teyachel because Bishami holds like Rav Shimon, who's less like Muktzah by Yontif, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who's Islay Mukta by Yontif. And what kind of Tarnagoylis are we talking about? A Tarnagoylis Ha'imedes Ligadel Beitzim. Because if this Tarnagoylis was a Medes Lachila, wouldn't be Mukta, everybody would hold it's okay. So the Gemara says, B'mayakim, what did we just say? But Tarnagoylis Ha'imedes Ligadel Beitzim. We said we're talking about a Tarnagoylis that's a Medes Ligadel Beitzim. Umisho Mukta, like we just repeated again and again and again. Ihachi, says the Gemara, so if that's the case, ad miflegi bebeitza liflegu betarnagoylis. Nice question. Why is the Mishnah beitza shenol debiyantiv? You know what the Mishnah should start? Tarnagoylis hoimedes legadol beitzen. Bishami yomim teyachel, ubeisul yomim loy teyachel. Is there any difference between the tarnagoylis and the beitza? No. The beitza is a problem because it came from a tarnagoylis, that's muktza. If that's the case, the same machloik bishami beisul you would have regarding the Tarnagoylis itself. So why are we talking about a Beish and all the Beyantif? Let's just talk about the Tarnagoylis itself. The Chura, the Tarnagoylis itself would be the same Achloikis. So the Gemara says, you're right, we could have, we would have, we should have. You know why we didn't? Because we want to bring out the Chiddush of Beis Shammai. That not only does Beis Shammai hold, like Rav Shimon, who's less like Mukta in Yontif, but even B'Noilad Shari, like we said in Oman Aleph, there would have been a Havamita that maybe Noilad is more Chamor. Because Noilad wasn't in the world at all, so you would have thought maybe it's more serious. So even by Noilad, it's going to be Mutter. So we want to bring out Shitas Beis Shammai, interesting, to bring out Shitas Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai is Mekel, even by Noilad. So therefore we said Beish and all the Beyond. I would say, if I cared, the Mishnah should have talked about a Tarnagoylis, not by a Be'er, to bring out Shitas Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel, who's Islay Mukta by Yontif, not only is he Islay Mukta by the Beitza, which is Noilad, but he's even Islay Mukta by the Tarnagoylis, which is not Noilad. So why are we bringing out the bigger Chiddush in Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai is Mekel even by Noilad? Bring out the bigger Chiddush in Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel was Machmer, even by the Tarnagoylis, where it wasn't Noilad. And by the way, we paskin like Beis Hillel. There's not a lot of suspense here. We know who we paskin like. So it would make more sense to say the bigger Chiddush in Beis Hillel, because at the end of the day, we paskin like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, I know what you're going to tell me. I know what you're going to tell me. This is a Shas 101. Every single time there's a machloikis, and you can bring out the machloikis in one of two ways, we always bring it out in the way that brings out the bigger chiddush in the mekel. It's more of a kunz to bring out the chiddush of the mekel. Now, who's the mekel in our Mishnah? Beis Shammai is the mekel in our Mishnah. Beis Shammai holds Beish and Olda Beyontif teyachel. So they're the mekel. So therefore, we're bringing out the chiddush in Beis Shammai, who's mekel who holds teyachel not only by the tarnagoylus but even by the bay. So the Gemara says, I know that's what you're going to say, right? That's the basic move. It's the go-to whenever you're asked a question like this. Oh, but Frank the Gemara, I have a follow-up. Venifli betravayu. Why didn't the Mishnah just argue by both? What would be so terrible if the Mishnah said tarnagoylus? He ubeitzasa, she and her egg. It would have been so easy to bring out the machloikis, both in terms of koyach te'etera adif, bring out the chiddush that Beis Shammai holds teyachel even the beitza, and that Beis Hillel holds loy teyachel even the tarnagoylus. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that I hear Rav Nachman's pshat, very nice pshat. The pshat of the machloikis in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is mukta. Beis Shammai is less lay mukta, Beis Hillel is islay mukta, dafka by yontif. By Shabbos is just the opposite. But the Gemara says I have one problem. Because if the machloikis says mukta, then why are we talking about a beis and all the yontif? Keep it simple. Tarnagoylus, hoy medas, the gadol beitzim. And if you want to tell me, no, you want to bring out Beis Shammai sheet even regarding the beya, because there's a chiddush and no, okay, so say both. Tarnagoylus, hoy medas, the gadol beitzim, he ubeitzasa. That is Rav Nachman's pshat. This is the Gemara's question on Rav Nachman. And because of this question, the Gemara immediately goes into a second pshat. Elo my Rabbi. So Rabbi said, because of this last question, what was the question? If the machloikas is merely, yeah, muksa, no muksa by yontif, then why are we only talking about the beitza? Talk about the tarnagoylus, hoy medas, the gadol beitzim. And the beitzah. So because of this, there must be something else going on over here. Rabbi said, no, the machloikis is a beya digger machloikis. This machloikis had nothing to do with the tarnagoylus. This is a machloikis regarding the beya. Okay, how so? We're talking about a tarnagoylus that was a medes achila. This tarnagoylus was not muktzah. We're not talking about muktzah. It was a tarnagoylus a medes achila. And we're going to make a major akimta that the Gemara is sort of going to fall off of in a second. But we're talking about where yontif fell out the day after Shabbos. So this is not just a Beis Shanol de Beyontif. This is a Beis Shanol de Beyontif when Yontif was on Sunday. And the reason this is a problem is because of Hachon. Because if you're going to eat this egg, you're eating an egg that was prepared on Shabbos. And you can't eat on Yontif food that was prepared on Shabbos. Here's the fine print. It's because Rabba holds Kol Beya de Mesialdo Ha'idna Me'esmo Garmala. Scientific fact. If an egg was born today, that means it was really completed the day before. So if Yontif falls out after Shabbos, and on that day of Yontif, this egg was noilad, that means when was it nigmar the egg? Yesterday on Shabbos. Okay. The rabbi l'tameh, and rabbi's l'shita, so the amar rabbi. Rabbi said, my dichsa, what's pshat in the pasuk that says in the parasha of the mon? V'ahi b'yayim ha-shishi, v'hechinu eisa she'yavil. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yidden, you have to prepare the mon before Shabbos. You want to eat the mon on Shabbos? Can't cook it on Shabbos. You can't bake it on Shabbos. You can have to prepare it before Shabbos. And we learn from here, Chol Mechin l'Shabbos, V'hoye b'yoyim ha-shishi v'echinu ha-sesha yaviyu. B'yoyim ha-shishi, on Friday, you're allowed to prepare for Shabbos. So we learn from here, Chol could be Mechin l'Shabbos, V'chol Mechin l'Yontif. You can prepare from Chol l'Yontif, V'ein Yontif Mechin l'Shabbos. But on Yontif, you can't prepare for Shabbos. V'ein Shabbos Mechin l'Yontif. And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to prepare for Yontif. So Rabbi said that being that I hold that there's an iser to eat on Yontif, food that was prepared on Shabbos. By the way, this is why we make an Erev Tavshilin. Because Yontif is not Mechin l'Shabbos. So you can't cook on Yontif for Shabbos. Hence the Erev Tavshilin. But Rabbi said that being that I hold that Yontif can't be Mechin l'Shabbos, or for us, Shabbos can't be Mechin l'Yontif. You can't eat food on Yontif that was prepared on Shabbos. And the mitzias of an egg that's Noilad b'Yontif is that it was prepared the day before. So when Yontif falls out the day after Shabbos, that means when was this beitza prepared? It was prepared on Shabbos. If the beitza was prepared on Shabbos, you can't eat it on Yontif because Rabbi L'tameh, because Rabbi holds that Shabbos can't be Mechon L'chol. So you want to know why Beis Shanol de Yontif, Beis Hillel says Loi Teyachel. It has nothing to do with the fact that Beis Hillel is Islay Mukta, but rather it's related to Rabbi's Isser Hachana. And that is, Rabbi holds, you're not allowed to eat on Yontif something that was prepared on Shabbos. We're talking about where Yontif fell out the day after Shabbos. The egg was prepared on Shabbos, and as a result, you wouldn't be able to eat it. Amalei Abai. Sabaya, who was Rabbi's Talmud Muvik, so he turned to his Rabbi and he said, El Miyatif, that's the case, Yontif Alma Tishteri. Every Yontif should be Mutter, right? Every single Yontif should be Mutter. And it doesn't sound like that from the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Beish and Nolda be Yontif, Beisil, Emim Leiteyachel. According to you, it's only when Yontif falls out on Sunday. But any other day of Yontif, it should be okay. Now, the truth is, Rabbi clearly said, Hochna b'maya skinon, we're talking about where Yontif fell out the day after Shabbos. But it seems the Rishonim speak out that Abaye wasn't privy to that. But the point is, Abaye asked that if that's the case, every yontif should be mutter. But the Gemara says it's not a kasha anyways, because gzeira mishum yontif achas Shabbos could be chachamim made gzeira. The real reason why beish and all the yontif leite yachel is because if the beya was noilid on yontif when it fell after Shabbos, it was prepared on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat food on yontif that was prepared on Shabbos. However, what if you're going to go ahead and you're going to eat it on this yontif, you can eat it on that yontif. And as a result, every single yontif, they said it's going to be a problem. Shabbos Talmud Tishri. What about Shabbos? Now, no one said anything about Shabbos yet. But the assumption is if a Beish and Aldo B'yontif is Loi Teyachal, Beish and Aldo B'Shabbos is also Loi Teyachal. Beish and Aldo B'Shabbos shouldn't be a problem. Because what's the whole issue? You're telling me there's no Muktzah problem here. The whole issue is the fact that it was prepared the day before. Shabbos, the day before, is when you're supposed to prepare. You're supposed to prepare an Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I hear Gzeir, Mishum Shabbos, Achai Yontif. It's because of a Gzeir of Shabbos. What would be if Yontif was Friday? Then you're going to have a problem. The Gemara says, Amigos, Rina, do we make such a Gzeir? But Tanya, we're going to the Bryce. Shaykh, this is a Tarna Gaila. Somebody shechs a Tarna Gaila. So what's about Beitz and Gemuris? And somebody found Beitz and Gemuris inside. Meaning, our Mishnah is talking about Beish and Olda, where the hen laid the egg. What would be if the hen didn't lay the egg, but rather you shechted the hen and you found an egg inside? The halacha is you're allowed to eat it. What's the Gemara's kasha? The im isa. If you're going to tell me a whole web of gzeiros, all of a sudden we're getting paranoid and we're starting to make gzeiros, then wouldn't this be a good place to put in a gzeiro and say that even if you shech the animal and you pull the egg out, it doesn't matter, it still should be a problem? Gzeiro otu, what's going to happen if it's a beish and older? So the Gemara says that's not a kasha. For that to happen, to shech the mother and to pull out an egg is a milsa de l'shchicha. Milsa de l'shchicha legazib rabban never make gzeiros when it comes to a milsa de l'shchicha. And that concludes today's daf. That concludes the second pshat in the Gemara. So again, we have two pshatim, the first two pshatim. In terms of understanding the machloikis between Bisham Yisrael and the Mishnah, Beish and Olda B'yantit, Bisham Yomrim Teyachel, U'Beisil Yomrim Loi Teyachel. What's the hezbron, the machloikis? Machloikis Rav Nachman and Rabba. Again, more pshatim tomorrow. Rav Nachman said the Mishnah is talking about Tarnagoylis hoy medes legadol beitzim. The Tarnagoylis was mukta. Beishamay says teyachel, because even though it's mukta, Beishamay holds like Reb Shimon, who's less like mukta in yontif. Whereas Beisilil's machmer, because Beisilil holds like Rab Yehuda, who is machmer in mukta, even or maybe only on yontif. Rabba learned that we're talking dafka about a Tarnagoylis we're not talking about a tarnagoylis that was mukta. There's no mukta issue in our Mishnah. Rather, we're talking about a tarnagoylis ha'imedes la'achila. What's the machloikis? Beisils, we're talking about when yontif fell out the day after Shabbos, or maybe even if it didn't fall out the day after Shabbos, but it would be a gzera otu when yontif falls out after Shabbos. What would happen if yontif falls out after Shabbos and a bey is nolda? What's so terrible about that? Oh, because the mitzias is that the egg is prepared the day before it's actually noilad. If it was noilad on yontif and yontif fell out the day after Shabbos, that means this egg that you want to eat on yontif was prepared on Shabbos. The reason Beis Hillel says loite yachel is because of Rabba's famous Isser Achana, because Rabba holds you're not allowed to be mechen from Shabbos to yontif, and it comes out you're eating something that was prepared from Shabbos to yontif. What does Beis Shammai hold? Beis Shammai holds teyachel. They obviously don't hold of Rabba. But the point is, either the machloikis is mukta, no mukta, or the machloikis is as it relates to the iser hachana of Rabba. So just to end, Daf Beis, with one ha'ara that really is a continuation of the introduction, but it's very much related to the daf, and that is the first pshat in the Gemara, Rav Nachman's pshat. Beish and Olda B'yontif, Beish Shammai Oimrim Teyachel, U'Beisilil Oimrim Loi Teyachel. Rav Nachman said the machloikis is that Beish Shammai is Leslei Mukta, and Beisilil is Islei Mukta. Again, we said it's a misnomer. Leslei Mukta, Islei Mukta, everybody holds a Mukta. But there's a machloikis with Shimon Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas of how far Mukta goes. Rav Shimon had a limited scope of Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda had a very broad scope of mukta. Rabbi Shimon was less lay mukta relative to Rabbi Yehuda's mukta. But Rabbi Shimon was mekel, and Rabbi Yehuda was machmer. So Beish and Olda B'yontif is a mukta, but it's a mukta that falls into that gray area. Thus, Meishama Yomim Teyacha, like Rabbi Shimon, who's less lay mukta. Beisil Yomim Loi Teyacha, like Rabbi Yehuda, who's Islay Mukhs? And the Gemara had a kasha. The Gemara's kasha was that Rav Nachman himself said regarding a Mishnah Masech the Shabbos, just the opposite. He said that Beis Shammai is Islay Mukhtza and Beis Hillel is Leslay Mukhtza. He said that if somebody finishes eating and there's bones and there's shells on the table, according to Beis Hillel, just pick up the bones and the shells and throw it in the garbage. Beis Shammai says, no, you have to pick up the whole table. It's a whole Asik. Why? Because Beis Shammai is Islay Mukhtza. He's very machmir. He's like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Mukhtza. Whereas Beis Hillel is Leslay Mukhtza. And the Gemara asked the kasha. Gemara says, Stir Rav Nachman. Here Rav Nachman said that Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And there he said just the opposite. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda and it's Beis Hillel that holds like Rav Shimon. And the Gemara said it's not a kasha. One Rav Nachman was explaining a Mishnah Masechtas Beya, which deals with Hilchas Yontif. And the other Rav Nachman was explaining a Mishnah in Masechtas Shabbos, which deals with Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Yontif, Beis Shammai is Leslay Mukhtza and Beis Hillel is Islay Mukhtza. In Hilchas Shabbos, Beis Shammai is Islay Mukhtza, and Beis Hillel is Leslay Mukhtza. And the Gemara said, and addressed Beis Hillel Shita. And the Gemara said, my time is the Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Hillel be Mekel in Shabbos and be Machmer in Yontif? And the Gemara said, the reason is because Shabbos de Chamira, Shabbos is Chamer, loy osi lizil zuleba. We're not afraid people are going to be Mezalzel. Therefore, we could be Mekel and Mukhtza. As opposed to Yontif, which is more kuladig, we're more afraid that people will be mezalzel, and it's for that reason, Beis Hillel held that we have to be more machmer when it comes to mukta in Hilchas Yontif. In other words, Beis Shammai seemed to take a very reasonable approach when it came to mukta. They were mechala between Shabbos and Yontif, but they were machmer in Shabbos, mekel on Yontif. That seems very consistent with everything we know about Teresh of Alpeh. Shabbos is more chamer than Yontif, so Beis Shammai is more machmer in Shabbos than they are in Yontif. Beis Hillel took a very counterintuitive approach. Beis Hillel said, I'm going to be machmer in Yontif, I'm going to be mekel in Shabbos. Beis Hillel is just the opposite. Beis Shabbos is more chamer. Why are you being mekel in Shabbos? Yontif is more kuladig. Why are you being machmer in Yontif? So the Gemara says, very cryptically, it's because Shabbos, because it's so chama, I don't think people are going to be mezalzel in Shabbos if we're mekel by mukta. So let's be mekel by mukta. Yontif, which is more kuladig, I'm afraid people may be mezalzel. And for that reason, I think we have to be machmer when it comes to Yontif. So the truth is that Shitas Beis Hillel is a little unclear. Again, Beis Shammai makes perfect sense. Shitas Beis Hillel is a little bit unclear. So the Chasam Sofer and wrote a hakdama to Masechtas Beya. We referenced it briefly in our hakdama. And the Chasam Sofer's hakdama to Masechtas Beya is a hakdama really to the laws of Mukhtza. And he said that it's very important to know the laws of Mukhtza, and therefore I'm going to give you a hakdama to the laws of Mukhtza. And in the middle of this hakdama, he addresses Beis Hillel Shita as it emerges from Shita's Rav Nachman here in the beginning of the Gemara. And that is that why would it be that Beis Hillel would be more mekel when it comes to Shabbos and more machmer than it comes to Yontif? But in order to properly appreciate this, we have to take a step back and have a tiny, tiny introduction. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. So the Gemara over there talks about the genesis of Mukhtza and how Mukhtza came about. And the Gemara said it used to be that the laws of Mukhtza were much more limited in scope. And then with time, at some point in history, the Chachamim came and they expanded the laws of Mukhtza. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Chanin, what was that point in history when the laws of Mukhtza seemed to have kicked into another gear? Bimei Nechemya ben Chachalya Nishnas Mishnazo. It happened in the times of Nechemya ben Chachalya. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Nechemya Perik Yud Gimel. The pasuk says, Bayomim Ohem. This is Nechemya talking. It was in those days, in the beginning of Bayesheni. Ro'isi bi Yehuda, I came to Eretz Yisrael and I saw there were Yidden that were Dorchen Gitois b'Shabbos. They were literally pressing in the wine presses on Shabbos. U'meviim ha'aremois. And then they were taking bundles and they were carrying them. V'omsin ala chamoirim. And they were working on their donkeys. V'af yayin v'anoven u'tehenim. And they were carrying wine, grapes, te'enim, figs, the chol masa, they were carrying everything they wanted to carry. U'mevi'in Yerushalayim, and they were bringing it to Yerushalayim b'yoyim HaShabbos. V'oyed b'yoyim Mircha, and I saw what was going on, and I said, Reboi Nishol Olam. And he says, I turned to them and I said, you know, you had a Beis HaMikdash, you lost it, it was because of things like this. How can you go ahead and do it? But says the Gemara, that you see in the times of Nehemiah, Nehemiah observed, he saw that the Yidden were being Mechal Shabbos. There was terrible Chil Shabbos going on. So Nehemiah felt that he had to be Mechazik Shabbos. So that was the Mechazik Shabbos. He said there's something called Muktzah. He expanded. The way it was Mechazik Shabbos was by being Machmer. He added on to Shabbos. He instituted, he implemented the laws of Muktzah. And by doing that, that created a Chizik for Shabbos. Like this, we don't have to worry anymore that people are going to be Mezalzel in Shabbos. The Ravid, in his Hasogas HaRavid, in Hilcha Shabbos, Perich of Dalet, he explains what the Gemara means in a little bit of greater detail. He says that what was it that the Pasuk says Nehemiah observed? What was the particular Chilul Shabbos that they were doing? They were carrying. They were carrying the bundles, they were carrying the wine, they were carrying the grapes, they were carrying the te'enim, the chol masa they were creating. And he went ahead and he established muktzah. So says the Ravid, that you see from here why Chazal instituted the laws of muktzah. You want to know what muktzah is? It's a gzera. Atu tiltul. It's atu haitza. They were mesakin tiltul atu haitza. Because they were afraid, they saw people carrying. So he said, you know what? We're going to put an end to this. You know, we're going to put an end to it. You can't carry anymore. Unless you need it for Shabbos, unless you prepared it before Shabbos, you're not going to be able to carry it. By doing that, he got people to stop carrying. What Nehemiah saw wasn't just the fact that people were being mezalzel in Shabbos. When Nehemiah saw that people were being mezalzel in Haitzah, in the 39th of the 39 malachas, the malach of Haitzah, and he was trying to prevent them from Haitzah. So he said, how am I going to prevent them by Haitzah? Muktzah. Meaning, if he saw what they were doing was bishul, I don't know if he would have implemented Muktzah. But the idea of Muktzah is it talks head on to Haitzah. You're carrying your Rishus HaRabim? Guess what? You can't even carry in your living room anymore. And that's a great protection. It's a shmirah. Keneged the malacha of Haitzah. We talk a lot about the gzeira that Chazal made of Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. So we know that when Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, you don't take Dalet Minim. When Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar. When Purim coincides with Shabbos, you don't read the Megillah. And the reason is gzeira de Rabba. Pun intended, but Gzeira the Rabba held Gzeira Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. He said, you're going to take the Dalet Minim, you may carry the Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. You're going to take the Shofar, you're going to carry the Shofar Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. You're going to take the Megillah, you're going to carry the Shofar. What about the Matzah? We spoke about that in the end of Masech Tesukah. But the point is, Gzeira Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. I saw something very interesting recently. Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, in his classic work, Torah Shleima. So this is in some of the essays that he has between Parshias. It's between Parshas Boy and Parshas Beshalach. It's Perik Yud Beis. It's under the title Gzeira Shema Yavirenu. So he says some very interesting things in Perik Yud Beis. But he begins by saying that he found something interesting. He said he found that one of the Rishonim say, the name of the Rishon was Rabbeinu Menachem. He said, quote, he said, Gzeira Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim was a Gzeira de Gozru Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo, al HaShofar, val HaLulav, val HaMegillah, Shaloi Linoik B'Shabbos, Shema Yoylichaim Eitzel Baki, Lilmoid in Yoneim, Inami Birchoseim, V'Yavar Arba Amos B'Shus HaRabim, V'Nimtza Mechalul Es HaShabbos. So Rabbeinu Menachem, when he brought the Gzeira Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, said Rav Kasher, who Kiyodua was a real Sinai, he was a tremendous, tremendous Yodea Sefer. And he said a chiddush that I didn't find anybody says anywhere. And that is the rest of the story. When exactly the gzeira of Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim was instituted. And he says, you know when it happened? It was from the takonos of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo. The Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo, they instituted this gzeira of Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim. So he says that, I always wondered, when did this gzeira happen? Was there a time that the Yidden were taking lulav on Shabbos? It's mistaber they were. There was but then, at some point, it flipped. And there was a gzeira shemi yavirenu dalet amos b'shus harabim. That if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, you're not taking it. Or if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not going to blow shofar. But the question is, when did that kind of go into place? He said he found a maramakim. Umatzasi lechem in arishoinim, Rabbeinu Menachem, shemevi perish chadosh, mashaloi nimtza b'shum mokoy macher. That's what he says. No one else says this. That it was the institution of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo. So Rav Kasher said that, you know something? I was thinking that it's ma'od mistaber. And it could be the rest of the story is the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Because the Gemara says that the laws of Muktzah were instituted by Nehemiah ben Chachalia. What happened? Nehemiah ben Chachalia came and he saw the Yidden were not observing the laws of Shabbos properly. But which one of the laws? Haitza. So what did he do? He said we have to be mechazek. We need to do something. So he instituted the laws of muktzah. And like the Ravid says, muktzah is atu haitza. It's the way of protecting the yid to make sure he's not going to come to haitza. So he said that you see that this was a tkufa where the yidden were very lax when it came to haitza. So it's mistaber that same generation of gedolim, Nehemiah, who was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, together with Ezra, they went and they made another takana. They said there's going to be no Dalad Minim on Shabbos. There's going to be no Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. There's going to be no Megillah on Shabbos. Why? Zeir Hashem Yavirenu Dalad Amis B'Shos HaRabim. And said Rav Kasher, Rashi, and Tosafot, all the Rishonim say, Yesh Koyach B'Yad Chachamim Lak Gedolim and Atayra B'Shev Al Taisa. But why would we do that? Why would we take away mitzvahs because of a Zeir Hashem Yavirenu? Rav Leibel Eger, what he told Rav Kivegas Kasher, Milsa Dalad Shchicha, right? You're going to jump Dalad Amis to do the mitzvah. Why would you go ahead and make such a Zeir? So he said, this dar was clearly very negligent when it came to Haitza. And just like Nehemiah had to be Mesakin Muktzah, so too they implemented this Gzeira of Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amis B'Shos HaRabim. But what comes out from this is, and it's really a Gemara Mesach Shabbos, Tav Kuf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, and it's Mefurish and Derived in Perich of Dalet and Hilcha Shabbos, Sif Katan Yud Gimel Ayin Sham, that the whole institution of Muktzah was rabbinic, and it was instituted because there was a tkufa where the yidden were very lax in the laws of Haitza. And to protect the yid from carrying B'Shos HaRabim, Chazal said that you can't carry. Unless you really, really need to carry, you can't carry. And by telling the yid he can't carry, that's a great way. It's a tremendous protection to make sure that this yid is not going to end up carrying Dalet Amis B'Shos HaRabim. And maybe, like Rav Kasher said, that's the Rabbeinu Menachem. That's what he meant when he said, that's when the Chazal made this takana of Gzeir Hashem Yavirenu Dalet Amis B'Shos HaRabim. So based on that, Zok Tehil Gichsam Sofer, Yesh Loimar, that's Pshat in Beis Hillel, Alibi the Rav Nachman. Again, Beis Hillel says, the way Rav Nachman explained it, Beis Shnol the Beyontif, what's the halacha? Why? Because Muktzah, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, it's Islay Muktzah. But that's only by Yontif. By Shabbos, he's more Mekel. By Shabbos, he actually is less Islay Muktzah. So what's the reason? So the Chassam Sofer said, Yesh Loimar. Because we're going to learn one of the major, major themes of Masech Tisbeya. This is not a digression. This is more of an introduction. One of the major themes of Masech Tisbeya is another machloikis between Bisham and Bishil. We know that on Yontif, you're allowed to do Melechah Seichel Nefesh. What if somebody does a Melechah that's technically a Melechah Seichel Nefesh, but he's not doing it L'Tzorich Seichel Nefesh? So you want to carry, but you're not carrying food. You want to carry your Machsa to Shul. Bishil holds Mitoich shehutra malacha litzayrich oichel nefesh, hutra nami shaloi litzayrich oichel nefesh. Bishamay argues. Bishamay says there's no such halacha of mitoich. It's muta litzayrich oichel nefesh, but it's not muta shaloi litzayrich oichel nefesh. So the Chassam Sofer said that if the whole idea of muktzah was because the yidden were being mezalzel at that time in the malacha vaitzah, he says Beis Hillel held, how much more so do we have to be machmer and muktzah when it comes to yontif? Because on yontif you're allowed to carry l'tzorich eichel nefesh, but you're not only allowed to carry l'tzorich eichel nefesh, you're even allowed to carry shaloi l'tzorich eichel nefesh, because mitoich shehutra malacha l'tzorich hutra nami shaloi l'tzorich. So there was such an understanding that haitzah, everyone's carrying. You're dealing with people that are mezalzel in Oitza. So Beis Hillel felt we have to be even more machmer. So what are we going to do? In Shabbos, I'm less like muktzah like Rav Shimon. Because we're going to have to be machmer. Why did Beis Shammai see the world the same way? Because Beis Shammai is l'shitasai. Beis Shammai doesn't hold of mitaych. So according to Beis Shammai's world, if you went into a shtetl of Beis Shammai, yeah, people were carrying food, but that's melechas oichel nefesh. All melechas oichel nefesh is mutter. But there was no concept of just carrying whatever you want because mitaych shalutra malacha l'tzorich hutra nami shaloi l'tzorich. So according to Beis Shammai, it wasn't so wichtig to go ahead and make that extra shmir. And that's why Beis Shammai said it's more mestabi. It should be machmer and Shabbos. It should be more mekel and yantiv. So said the Chassam Sofer, Bishamay was Machmer and Shabbos and Mekel and Yontif, because that's the Svara. Shabbos more Chama than Yontif. So of course the Svara is to be Machmer and Shabbos versus being Mekel and Yontif. Beis Hillel came with this whole chap that no, we're going to be Machmer and Yontif and we're going to be Mekel and Shabbos. And you have to understand Parshav Shabbos. Why would it be that way? So said the Chassam Sofer, the Pshat is, and he's really learning up the Gemara, that what the Gemara is saying is that because Yontif the whole institution of Muktzah was put in place to protect the Yid from carrying. So therefore, Yontif, with carrying is way more lax because you're almost always allowed to carry. Now, at times you're not allowed to, but you almost are allowed to because you're allowed to carry Letzayrich Eichel Nefesh and even Shalei Letzayrich as long as it's for a Tzayrich. So they felt that it was even more important that when we lay down the law of the land as it relates to the laws of Muktzah, we're actually going to have to be even more Chot Machmer when it comes to Yontif. And that's why Sedech Sam Sofer, Beis Hillel was more Machmer in Yontif and more Mekel in Shabbos.